All right, welcome everyone. Thanks for coming to this session. It's a real pleasure to be here today with you. My name is Arno. I come from Paris, France, the real one. We're going to spend the next hour together. We're going to talk about Hyper-V network virtualization with
Stanislas.
We're both technical evangelists at Microsoft. I was previously working as a premier field engineer with probably some of your customers here in the room, working on anything technology like networking, IPv6, IPsec, direct access, all this kind of wonderful stuff.
And I am a former infrastructure and security architect working for Microsoft Consulting Services, and now working on especially cloud, private cloud, every cloud, and also virtualization.
So this is a demo extravaganza session, so promise there will be at least, very least, half of the session that we're going to need to do some live demo, hopefully live, if the internet is living for the whole duration of the session. Why did we do this session? Basically, we probably heard about network virtualization everywhere, Hyper-V network virtualization, but it's kind of complicated when you want to try to put all the bits together and you want to try to make it work in a small environment to do kind of a proof of concept. So really what we wanted for this session is to give you all the bits to make an environment working and understand very quickly all the bits, all the words that are everywhere. Yeah, because it's a mix of Hyper-V, it's a mix of System Center, Virtual Machine Manager. Sometimes they use different wordings, so the real purpose of this session, after this hour, you should be able to build a small test environment to put all of those bits together and really understand how it comes into life. As I mentioned, Hyper-V network virtualization, it is actually the hypervisor in itself, plus System Center, Virtual Machine Manager. We are all going to review that on the 2012 or two versions of the product. And of course, there is a need to go outside of the virtualized world. So this is why we use a virtualization gateway, the HNV gateway. We have the responsibility to take our virtualized environment to some more common kind of networks. So this is what we're going to spend the next hour at. First thing, what is network virtualization? You probably heard about that previously. The whole idea of network virtualization is to use an existing IP network, and on this existing IP network, put other network relying on top of it. So you're going to have networks that are isolated. They are going to coexist on the same IP, let's say, data center kind of network, and then you're going to put different kind of tenants relying on this IP network. So no interaction, they are perfectly isolated, unless you define to link them to the real world via a gateway. So that's really the objective, running multiple virtual IP networks on an existing one. And each network has the impression that it's running, that is a separate, distant, physical network, sorry. So we know that about server virtualization, about machine virtualization, right? It's not new. We have virtual machines, they rely on physical servers. We don't care about what underlying physical servers we have. Well, we do the same for networks. We have an IP network. All that we ask to this physical network is basically pass IP packets from one side to the other of the network. Then we're going to make multiple networks coexist on the same physical data center network. What are the scenarios? Why do we want to do network virtualization? Where there are multiple scenarios for companies or for private cloud, it's very interesting because you can very easily isolate some business units, isolate some tenants of the clouds. You can easily as well build extensible solution using hybrid cloud. This is a good way to have some parts of your private cloud running in some part of the infrastructure, and then you link it with the hybrid, with the Azure, for instance. It's easy, and it's a very first step in the software-defined networking. It's easy because all the network is driven by the software. You don't have to rely on the physical network infrastructure, so think about the re-VLANization that you're having to do on a classical kind of networking stuff. Now it's all driven by the software, so easy to manage, and you can manage it from the same console and from the same tools that you're using all the time. And network virtualization can help as well for the context of integration of acquired company. Think about when you have to merge two IP networks that are both within the 1918 RFC, 192, 168, something kind of network. Well, when you have to merge the two networks on the same side, this is kind of problematic and difficult. So this is for companies and for private cloud topology. For hosters, very interesting as well. You can manage multi-tenancy easily. And this is a really an interesting thing because you can go really easily over the 4K limitation that we have in the VLAN world. In the VLAN world, and you can very easily manage customers that bring their own IP address space, because basically, whatever the address space is, it will be isolated and it will coexist on your data center network. And as you mentioned, you manage everything with software. So no problem, it's all within the same tools that you're using. So this is network virtualization, and this is why we do it. Now, how does it work?
Well, the first thing to know is in Hyper-V network virtualization, you will have two types of IP addresses. The first one is a PA, the provider address. This address is owned, it's managed by the infrastructure cloud or the cloud provider. So this IP address will be used by the hypervisors. So you will find these addresses on the host. The second kind of address is a CA, the customer address. Customer address is the used inside the VM. And this address can be managed by the cloud or the hoster's customers. So you see here, you have addresses that are managed by the owner of the cloud or the infrastructure administrator. And on the other side, you have the address that is used by the customer of this infrastructure on the VM. We also have some customer VM network. A customer VM network is a network isolation boundary. That means nothing goes outside this boundary. A customer VM network is comprised of one or more virtual subnets, like a real IP network. And between these different VM subnets, you have a routing, and this routing is explicit. The router is enabled by default. It's managed automatically by the system. A virtual subnet, also known as the VSID, you will find this when we will use command PowerShell in the next hour. It's a broadcast boundary. But this broadcast boundary is only available, is only present in Windows Server 2012. In Windows 2012 R2, it's not anymore a broadcast boundary. Just to summarize that in a small picture, here, in these examples, we have three VM networks, two VM networks for Blue Corp, and one VM network for Red Corp. Inside those VM networks, we have virtual subnet with different IP range. So, Hyper-V network virtualization is completely transparent for the virtual machine. Virtual machine knows only the CA, the customer IP addresses. That means you will never be able to ping a provider address from a VM inside a VM network. Only the VM network traffic is virtualized on the wire. And for the rest of the traffic, for example, the Hyper-V administration network traffic, this is not virtualized on the wire.
So how does it work on the cable? Take this example. We have two hypervisors here. They are on the 192.168.2.22 and 192.168.5.5.5. Those are the IP addresses on the provider address space. So those are the way that we're going to put packets on the cable. Then what we have to do is we have to define a way for the machines here, blue, communicate with each other, despite the fact that they're not on the same hypervisor. So what we are going to do here is we're going to use a communication between the hypervisors and a way to transport those packets on the PA address space. So machines will send a packet here, blue. For instance, blue 10005 will send a packet to blue 10007. And when we put that on the cable to discriminate the different kind of traffic, the blue or the red traffic, we're going to have a different identifier in the GRE key. Yeah, I mentioned GRE. What we actually do is we take the packet as it has been sent by the virtual machine, and we encapsulate that into a GRE packet. GRE is standard routing protocol. It's everything over IP. It's generic routing encapsulation. So we just use this protocol, GRE, and we put a field which identifies which traffic for which virtual subnet is this traffic to be sent to. So this is how we can discriminate, basically, the blue 10.0.0.5 and the red 10.0.0.5. So NVGRE, this is the encapsulation that we use, and we're going to see that into a real network trace in a few minutes. So you see, we're having virtual machines. They will be placed on the different hypervisors. Now the job, the challenge, let's say, is to propagate on all the hypervisors the knowledge of, okay, I'm hosting this virtual machine, which belongs to this virtual subnet. So basically, you have to have a mapping that says, I'm having those machines. So how do we define that? There are multiple ways of doing this. One of the ways of doing this is PowerShell. Can you imagine that? You have each virtual machine. Each time the virtual machine will move, you'll need to propagate this configuration to the whole environment, for the whole environment to know that this VM now is on this other environment. You guess it. Life's too short for doing that on PowerShell. So what really we do in real-world deployments is using VMM. So System Center Virtual Machine Manager 2012, R2, has this responsibility. As long as you are doing any operation with the virtual machine on an hypervisor, it will modify and it will distribute to all the machines the knowledge of the different virtual machines and the network they are belonging to. So way easier to manage. Oh, we're getting into the System Center Virtual Machine Manager networking world. So I've already done some networking with System Center Virtual Machine Manager. It's probably the first thing that it looks like to you. And we did too. We repeated a lot of video together. We reviewed a lot of books of things, and it was really very challenging to get all the bits at a first step. Actually, we didn't understand anything. So the result is this one. Yeah, many days of headaches and stuff. So this is why we made this session, actually, to try to make it easy for you. So let's go. How we do the network virtualization with VMM? Configuration step by step. As we mentioned here, there are multiple aspects that we are going to cover during this presentation. First step is to configure the provider part. The provider part is the infrastructure. It's the hypervisor and how they communicate together. So we're going to have this first group of steps, the four first steps. We are going to define there the bits for every single customer that Wendell rely on this infrastructure. So first things first, let's define what we call a logical network. What is a logical network?
Imagine you have two cities, the beautiful city of Paris, and you have Seattle. Well, you know, we are French. So you have two data centers, one in each of the cities. And we have two IP ranges that are different. One IP range is for hypervisors in the data center of Paris, and we have another IP range for the hypervisors in Seattle data center. So the logical network is a way to define a network that has the same purpose in each data center. So for example, I need a network to connect every host I'm using in my cloud. So I will call it here, intranetwork cloud provider. This is a logical name. If I had a third data centers, for example, in Houston, I will use the same name in these data centers, the same logical name. So we will switch to my demo machine because it's a demo extravaganza. I am here in the management console of Virtual Machine Manager 2012 R2. I am in the fabric area. Fabric is where you define all your infrastructure, and an infrastructure includes server, the hypervisor, storage, and of course networking. So we'll go here in the networking area. And we go here, say I create a new logical network. I will put a name. So infranetwork cloud provider. And I need to check that box. Very important, if you forget it, the end of the world. So allows the new VM network created on this logical network to use network virtualization. Then the next thing to do is to define network sites. Network sites are your different data centers. So I will add a first one. We will call it Paris InfraNetwork Cloud Provider.
One of the very interesting stuff here, put very, very clear name into the stuff. Because you're going to see in a few minutes, we're going to have logical network, IP pools, logical networks in different sites. So be very, very clear in the names. Otherwise, if you always put network virtualized everywhere, it's going to be very quickly a mess to understand.
Yeah. As you see, I say this host group is Hyper-V in Paris. I put here my IP range of Paris, and I give a name that is clear. I will add another one, so do the same thing for Seattle. And yes, names are very, very long.
So you assign it to the Hyper-V Seattle group of hosts, VLAN 0, and then 172.17.0.0/16, right?
Exactly. OK, first thing done, we have created a logical network with the definition of two sites, one of Paris, one Seattle.
So we created a logical network. Now what we are going to do is we're going to distribute an IP address to the machines that will belong to this logical network. So we define a network for our machine, the hypervisor that we're going to put in Paris data center and in Seattle data center. Now let's give an IP address to this machine that will be defined as belonging to the Paris or the Seattle data center. So in terms of VMM world, we call IP pool a kind of a DHCP server. So let's create the IP pool now.
So, create an IP pool, give a name. This IP pool is related to this logical network. I will create an IP pool for Paris. I won't do the same for Seattle to spend some time. So, Paris. So, it's like a DHCP scope. You define your IP range, your gateway, your DNS, your domain name, and so on. So, this is my IP range. I will add here a gateway.
I think you're having too much text. Oh. Yeah, I need to clear a bit.
Thanks. A DNS.
So those are really the characteristics that your server, your hypervisors, will need and will have on their network, on the virtualized network cards. So once you define a network card on this hypervisor, it will use those characteristics. It will have an IP address within this range distributed by the IP pool.
Do we need WINs?
Anybody still using WINs?
Thank you.
Okay, we know. But not here.
Okay, so we have a logical network. We have an IP pool that will distribute all the IP parameters to the host, Hyper-V host.
Yeah, so we have machines that communicate together. Now what we want to define is we want to define a switch. Basically, we want to define a set of communication parameters for the virtual machines to discuss amongst them. So let's create what we call a logical switch on VMM.
So we go here, create a new logical switch. Like everybody, we probably click next without reading all that thing. And what happens? In the next step?
No way.
No way. So, the thing.
Let's go back to the definition, yeah. Here, actually, it says what you have to do, but as we mentioned, nobody reads it, right?
Okay. So we will explain it.
So it's a switch. So basically on a switch, virtual or physical switch, you have to have some characteristics. One of the characteristics is how do you uplink the communication? How do you send the packets to the real cable. This is one of the first steps. And this is the uplink port profile in the Hyper-V plus VMM world. So this is basically how do you link it to the real network.
So you go here in port profile, right-click, create an Hyper-V port profile. You give a name also that is very long. You select here uplink port profile and load, load balancing algorithm. You select Hyper-V port. And here you have the choice depending on your teaming mode. Most of the time, you have to provide a failover of high availability for the switch. An Hyper-V is connected to a physical NIC.
Yep.
Most of the time, it's better to use a team NIC. So we'll switch independent on that one. Next. Here, I will say this uplink port is for Paris or other data centers. Things important here, you have to check that box. If you have servers that are still in Windows 2012, if they are in 2012 R2, it's not mandatory, but I encourage you to check that box. Next. Okay, we have an uplink port profile. What next?
We have other kinds of ports on a switch, right? The regular ports that just host virtual machine. So we need to define that as well. If you see previously on the wizard, there's the virtual network adapter port profile. And this actually defines the characteristic that we usually define on the Hyper-V NICs setting. If you compare, if you remember the difference between the Hyper-V console for the NICs and the VMM console for the NICs, it's not the same thing. You cannot define anything around VMQ, around SRIUV, around DHCP guard, router guard. You don't have this option in VMM. But you define this option inside the virtual network adapter port profile inside VMM.
Yeah. And out of the box, you have already some templates for this profile. So for example, if I go here in the high bandwidth adapter, I will find the offloading of the virtual card, security settings, bandwidth settings, and so on. And there is a third thing that is interesting.
The port classification. The port classification is basically just a tag, just a name that you will put on a NIC.
So here, out of the box, you have already some labels. So it's very simple. If you check the properties, it's just a name and a label, nothing more. So now we have all the prerequisites to create a logical switch. So we come back here, start the wizard again. This time, we can say next. Take a name. Here, since Windows 2012, you can add some extension to the virtual switch. So if you have more extensions, that's the extension by default. Here, I will select the uplink port profile that I created previously. OK. And then I will add some port classification, some virtual ports to this logical switch. We can add many. I will add one type. It's enough. So I select, for example, the high bandwidth classification, and I include a virtual network adapter port profile. We'll use the same high bandwidth adapter. Okay. Next. Done. Virtual switch is ready.
All right. So far, so good. That's a good news. Let's continue with the next step, which is basically we're having hypervisors. They're having communication in command. They are having, we created a logical switch. So now let's bind this logical switch to those hypervisors so that this switch will be present everywhere and we can bind machine and use this in our machines.
So we will go to the properties of a host. We'll select here virtual switch, new. you have two options, the standard switch you can create also with a Hyper-V manager, or the new logical switch. Here, I will select my logical switch I just created, and I select after my nick. Okay. Warning.
There might be some problem
communicating,
but it's a dedicated nick, so it should be okay.
And
second.
Same thing. Host number two.
All right.
All right.
So we are basically done now with the infrastructure configuration, with the provider configuration. So we are having all our hypervisors. Now they start having an IP address in the 192.168.1.16 that we had previously. So they get this IP address. And we're having this switch with this characteristic that is spread on the two hypervisor hosts that we just defined.
So now we'll create a VM network. So it's not happen in the fabric area. It will happen here in the VM and services user interface. Here, you have the VM network. Create a VM network. You give a name. So for example, we have a company named BlueCorp. We will create a VM network for BlueCorp. This VM network will stand on the top of the infra network cloud provider. We will isolate all the traffic using Hyper-V network virtualization. And now, as I said before, inside a VM network, you have virtual subnet. And I will define two virtual subnet in these examples. So first one will be called subnet blue one. IP address 10.1.0.0/24. And subnet Bluetooth 10.2.0.0/24. There is no service now for the connectivity outside this virtual network. Arno will speak about this later.
So just like previously, we created the network. Now we're going to automatically distribute addresses to machine within this VM network. So for the two sites that we created, we're going to create an IP pool to distribute addresses to the virtual machines going there.
So same things. Create an IP pool. So I need to create two IP pools, one for subnet number one and one from subnet number two. So I will do IP pool blue one. Here, it's for subnet number one. Very, 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 very important. The starting IP address must be at least .2. You cannot use .1 IP address because it's managed and reserved by the systems for the gateway. And you must manually add yourself the .1 address as a gateway. Very, very important. You can add after your DNS server, your DNS suffix. No wins.
Of course.
OK, I will do the same thing for the subnet number two. So I will create IP pool name, IP pool blue two, this time for person net number 2. Like before, starting at least with IP number 2. Manually add the dot 1 as a gateway address, 10.2.0.1.
Yep.
DNS, 10.1.0.2, and suffix, lookorp.net.
Okay, so we got the two IP pools. Now we're going to use virtual machines and put those virtual machines on those VM networks.
Yeah. So I have here two virtual machines. VMBlue is running on the top of Hyperspeed 1. VMBlue 2 is running on the top of Hyperspeed number 2. So I go here, properties, hardware configuration, network adapter, and here I'll say connected to VM network, select BlueCorp. Okay. And I will put this VM on virtual subnet number 1. I start this VM, and I do the same thing on VM number 2. This is VM Blue 2.
All right, so as we mentioned, we'll be using the 10.1.0.1 and 10.2.0.1 for automatic routing. So it means that basically the machine Blue 1 and Blue 2, they are on different subnets, but they will be able to communicate. So let's try that. If we go to the machine, we start them. We are going to try to ping this machine, which are on the two different hypervisors and on two different virtual subnets inside the same VM network. So it detects a different network, which is a very good first step. So we're on Blue 1. So 10.1.0.2, kind of expected. The default gateway is 10.1.0.1. And we're going to ping our friend on the other hypervisor. So it's VMBlue 2 that is on Hyperspeed 2. So you see, routing is done. We are on different hypervisors, packet are exchanged. We are actually using this encapsulation that we were talking about before, the NVGRE. We're going to see that in the capture in a few minutes. So we are having the communication going on. Now let's look a little bit into more details with some useful comments to understand what's happening there.
Yeah, you have PowerShell, CMDLet, commandlet for Hyper-V, and some for VMM. So for VMM, there is at least two commands that are interesting. The first one is get sc IP address. It will give you, for example, this IP address is a CA address given by this IP pool. Here, we have got a PA address, so it's a host. So the first one is interesting. If you want to dump all your IP pool, get sc So get sc static IP pool, IP address pool, sorry, will dump you all the configuration of your IP pools you defined before. So this is a scvmm commandlet. And if you go on an Hyper-V server, you have also very interesting commandlet. First one, it's get net virtualization provider address. It will give you the IP address used as a PA on this host. And another one that I love a lot is get, net virtualization, lookup, record. It will give you all the information you need about which address has been assigned to what. So here, for example, I know that 10.1.0.2 is for VM Blue 2. I see also here the virtual subnet ID, very useful when you are doing some network traces. This address is particular because it's managed by SCVMM, and the VM name here is DHCP something. So it's the DHCP used by the IP pool. And so on. This one also is interesting, 10.1.0.1. You see here, the VM name is GW, so it's a gateway. It's a VM, you don't see it, but it's here.
Yeah.
Is there a commandlet also for forcing an update that if you, for example, change the DNS object in your VM network and then want to force that update to all VMs in that VM network?
So the question is you, can you use these PowerShell commandlets to modify the configuration in the environment? That's a way to do this, but yeah. So let's continue with some living the life of a virtualized IP packet very quickly to see what happened in the precise example that we show you. We see that we are having VMs in different virtual subnets, but they are in the same what we call routing domain. Routing domain is a VM network, basically. So they're in the same routing domain, they're on different virtual subnets, and we are running on different Hyper-V hosts. So what happens in the life of a virtualized packet? Here we took example with a 192 something networks, but it's the same exact thing that we just did. So what we're having, the hypervisors on the blue one wants to communicate with blue two. Here you can see that the VSID for blue one is 5001 and the VSID for blue two is 5222. So what happens? Basically, the blue machine says, okay, I need to send a packet for 10.0.1.7, blue 2. Basically, the routing table says, it's not my network, so I need to locate the route appropriate for this packet. So it's the default gateway. So what happens? Basically, the virtual machine will send a request for the MAC address of the router, of the default gateway. So the network virtualization filter driver will actually answer with this MAC, the default gateway, the 10.0.0.1. So there's no broadcast going really over the cable here. It's the virtualization filter driver that will answer to that request. Now, what happens? We learn the MAC address. So once we learn the MAC address, blue one, will send the packet over the cable and say, okay, I have a packet to send .10.0.1.7. So we send it. We put the packet on the Hyper-V switch. The Hyper-V switch will see that this is something that needs to be sent over the cable via the network virtualization filter driver. So what's going to happen on the cable is that the packet in blue, which has been emitted by the virtual machine here. And then you see that we encapsulate that with the green network, with the 192-something network. And interestingly, you see that here we put 5222. So we put the destination virtual subnet inside the packet, inside the NVGRE packet. So the receiving machine, PA2, basically gets the packet. It sees that it's a network packet for the 5222 virtualized network. So we get that. We pass through the virtualization filter driver. We then send that to the appropriate vSwitch. The machine, Blue 2, receives that, and it processes it just like any regular networking packet. So it didn't figure out of what was happening on the cable. So this is what happened basically in our little example previously. So now let's look at some real network packets. So previously when we do this demonstration, I just took a network trace of what was happening. I don't know if you guys are familiar with this interface. Yeah? Message analyzer. So this is the new version of Network Monitor. If you find Network Monitor too easy, you're going to enjoy that one. So it works pretty much just like Network Monitor. It parses the highest level of information it has. So if I go here and see the packets that I had, we see that there is a 10.0.2 and a 10.0.1.2 packets being exchanged here. Yes, Message Analyzer is intelligent. It seems that we're having the higher level of information. So if we get into the details of the packets, we see that actually this is a 10.2.0.2, but there is the MAC address of the VM here, and interestingly, remember the PA address space. So we see that there's a GRE encapsulation. There's the here physical address, then Ethernet, then IPv4, then ICMP. So we can go there even into the details here, IPv4. So that's really the packet that has been sent over the cable. And we see that on top of this protocol, we're having GRE. Of course, it's because if you want to go into the text version, but real computer and networking guys will look directly over here, right? And we can see clearly this is the payload of my ping. So this is the encapsulation as it goes over the cable. Pretty simple, use network monitor or message analyzer. Message analyzer has the parsers to make you able to see what's happening. If you do that with network monitor, you would just see GRE and you don't see the encapsulation. So this is how network traces look like. Very exciting, I know that. Great, we made the isolated network. You have a question here? So this is an interesting question that we're having here. Do we have to use an IP address distributed automatically by VMM, or can we use a manual IP address or something from something else? So it actually depends on the version of you're using. In R2, the full stack in R2, you have the possibility to have IP addresses non-distributed by IP pool by VMM. So it will learn the IP and MAC, and this is possible. But it wasn't possible on the 2012 RTM. So, great, we created virtualized network. We can communicate VM from VM. But usually, guess what? We create networks to create with somebody else, to communicate with somebody else outside of the environment. So this is what we are going to do now. How do we link the environment to the outside?
So to link an NVGRE world to the outside world, the real network world, you need a HNV gateway. So this gateway bridges the network virtualized environment with a non-network virtualized environment. So basically, the gateway will add or remove the GRE encapsulation and route to physical network or NAT. It can also NAT and not only route. And this gateway can also encapsulate the packet for outside in a VPN packet. So case number one, you want to connect a consolidated data center that is using NVGRE to a normal real network. You will use here an Hyper-V network virtualization gateway. If you are doing something with remote data centers or with a cloud provider, you will use also an HNV gateway, but that time this gateway will also be a VPN site-to-site gateway. So how it works?
So how do we put that at work? Basically, there are multiple gateways that are present on the market. You can find some, and we're going to talk about that later, from F5 or for other providers. But the good news is that we are providing you with one with Windows Server 2012 R2, and this is called Windows Server Gateway. So Windows Server Gateway is really a way to link the virtualized world to the real world data center. So it's actually, when we call Windows Server Gateway, it's a mix of two things. It's the hypervisor plus, on top of this hypervisor, a virtual machine which has the RAS service installed. So when you do a setup of a Windows Server Gateway, that's the very minimum that you need to make it work. Hypervisor plus the VM installed and running on top of that. How do we prepare that? Well, basically for this environment, I just took an hypervisor. I just took a VM, which I installed a RAS service on top of it, and that's all. All the RAS operations are done by VMM, and we're going to see how it happens in a few seconds. Typically, we can use two or three networking interfaces for managing that. I'd recommend three. It's more safe. There will be one, basically, that will be dedicated to communication with the normal data center, so normal operation, real-world network. Then you're going to have a network interface that will be dedicated to the back-end communication, to the NVGRE world. And there will be some management network card for basically regular operation, communication between VMM and the environment. So this is what you're going to need to bind on the hypervisor and on the VM, those network. Very interestingly, you cannot have on a Windows Server Gateway a virtual machine which uses the network virtualization. So as long as you set up VMM correctly, when it evaluates a possible move of a virtual machine that uses network virtualization from an hypervisor to the other, it will say, okay, this one is the Windows Server Gateway. No way I'm going to put this VM there. So this is VMM's intelligence for that. So pretty cool. So this is how we set up the Windows Server Gateway topology. As we've seen previously during the session, two parts of it. The provider configuration, so the basically cloud provider configuration steps, which is doing the setup of Windows Server Gateway, the hypervisor, plus the VM, as I mentioned it. Then we add the gateway as a component of the network fabric. Once we've done that, we configure the infrastructure. Then we can take benefit of this feature inside the configure VM network in my different customers. So let's go there and see how it looks like. So we're having my VMM environment here, probably. Maybe. Number eight.
Eight.
Yeah, the other eight. All right, so this is my environment. I'm here in the VM and services. This is my hypervisor, and this is my VM with the RAS services. So we go there on Hyper Arno, we go to the properties, and we are going to see the host access part, and this is the one we mentioned here. This host is dedicated network virtualization gateway. As a result, it is not available for placement of VM using HNV. This thing will make that no VM using HNV will be placed on this host. Then basically we have the virtual switch. So I have seen here my logical switch, which is bound on the NetVirtu, the network card, which is dedicated to network virtualization. So this is for the hypervisor. Now if I go to the properties of the virtual machine, I go there and I can see the network configuration in the hardware configuration part. And here there's basically the NIC connected to the physical network. And there is here the NIC connected to the logical switch. So please hear not a very interesting point. We are on the standard switch, which is my logical switch. It's a bit misleading. And even more misleading here, you see that we are actually using a VM network, which is known. So in terms of configuration, you have to go there and see I'm connected to the logical switch, and I'm then connected, and I clear the box VM network. Because I don't want to be bound on network to a VM network. I want to have all the VM network available to this virtual machine. So we have the prerequisites. Now let's do the setup of our environment. Now, as we mentioned, we are in the fabric setting. So let's go in the fabric setting and let's add a network service. So here, add network service. Let's zoom in. And we see that here we are adding a new network service. So this is my Windows Server Gateway. Next, what kind of thing that you want to add to this environment? So you can have different kind of stuff. Here I want to add a Windows Server Gateway. Let's use that. Here, very important as well, specifying the runner's account. When you do this operation, you need to have an account which has admin rights on the virtual machine and on the hypervisor at the same time for the propagation of the settings on the world environment. So here I will use a privileged account on the both in my environment. Okay. Validate. And here is the interesting thing, the connection string. So connection strings, basically, as it mentions here, for a gateway, it's the mix of hypervisor plus the virtual machine. So normally, I should have it ready for you already. So VM host hyper or no, and gateway VM WSG02. Next step is validate the security. So here it's Windows world, so we don't have to use certificates. We can test the validity of this configuration. So if we do test here, we are going to verify that we are able to communicate with this bit. So we see that, yes, we have passed the connection on the environment. We are really having the NAT management APIs, the meeting metering APIs, HNV API. So it seems that we are kind of OK. Which hypervisors do I want to use this environment? Elise 1 and 2. You do next. And you validate finish. Just check that we are done. We are completed. So far, so good. But wait, it's not finished. Because we just basically create this whole environment. Now we have to define which NIC is bound to which kind of traffic. So here, if we go back to the configuration environment and we see the connectivity side, we need to define which NIC is the front end and which NIC is the back end. So the front end basically is the classical network. So here we're having the internet logical. I create an internet logical network, which is the real data center network in my environment. And in the backend connection, I have my NVGRE environment. So NVGRE, and I will use the logical network, NetCloud provider. So we click OK. We validate. It should be good in the job. We can see that, yes, it has been done successfully. NVGRE backend and the GUID of this network. So great. Now we're having the setup of the provider space. Let's use that into our VM and services network. So I go there on my VM network. As you can see, I have a couple of virtual networks defined here previously. So having VMnet blue, green, and red. Once I go there, I go right-click on blue, and here I define properties, and in the connectivity, this is where I define the possibility. So you can see that I'm having my WSG, which is now here. I can do side-to-side VPN supporting BGP. I can do NAT direct routing, and I can remain with 50 VM network and 200 VPN tunnel. So yeah, it should be OK for this lab, at least. Here we're having connect to another network through VPN. So if I select this box, it will make automatically the connection to a remote site. So of course, I will need to define the remote route. I will need to define the credentials to establish the remote link. I can even use BGP for route discovery. And the other option, the one I will use today, is connect that to a real world network. So connect to an additional logical network. And I can use direct routing relationship. And more interestingly, for this environment, I can use NAT. So basically, what it's going to do now, if I select the NAT option, it's going to make this virtual network isolated, published, kind of, through the outer world via an IP address, a public IP address, a real IP address from the data center. And it will communicate that way with the outside, just like a NAT, a classical NAT that we use every day at home. Interestingly, if we go on the next step, we can see where the NAT IP addresses come from. So here we can see that I have used the IP pool home internet, so 192.168.0 something here kind of network. I can mention the address. If I don't do that, it will pick one available inside this IP pool. And here I can add NATing rules. So basically, from the public IP address that will be picked with the 192.168 something, I will publish, let's say, port 80 to this IP address inside the virtualized world. So this is a way to make available to the outside world one resource that is in a virtualized network environment. I don't want to do that. I just want here to validate this configuration. So it communicates. It's trying to get an IP address from this pool. And now you can see that actually it has been able to pick one address. So all communications going from this virtual, for this VM network it will use the 192.168.0.208 IP address to go outside. Okay, let's go and try if it works. We are going to use, this is Blue Network, right? So we have Blue probably on HyperRNO1. We go there, connect via console. There's a ping running because I just wanted to test the ping to the other VM or the other hypervisor. I will just run a Windows PowerShell command here, and I will try if I can ping something on the outside world. Ping www.xbox.com. Great success. Yeah. First attempt was not very successful. There is a little bit of mapping at first. So, very exciting. We were able to ping from our isolated environment, Xbox.com, on the outside internet. Isn't that exciting? It's a ping, come on. So this is HNV. You can guess all the things that you can do with that. This is how you link the two words, basically. Great, so this was really the real minimum that you need to put that at work. Now, more seriously, if you want to deploy that on a real-world environment, you will need to have something a little bit stronger, right, to be resilient on any kind of failure. So there's a white paper describing all the steps you need to do for that and all the configuration you need for that. What you want is to have hypervisor highly available, so you would have a cluster of Hyper-V, and you want your gateway VM to be highly available as well. So you will have an inner cluster of the virtual machines as well to make the whole solution highly available. So this is this white paper. This is highly standardizable, if we can say that in English. You can use the VMM templates, the service templates. We provide you with this basic configuration. You can download these models and import that to your VMM environment so that you can highly reliably make this gateway easily. So this is for the Microsoft world. We can do that as well with third-party NVGRE gateway. Here, I just took an example with one of the gateway we found on the market. F5, for instance, they provide you with an additional module. So you will install this module. You will add the gateway as a VMM network fabric resource, and then same thing. VMM will send the information for your VM in the virtualized environment to discuss with the outer world. Then you just take benefit of it the same way in the VM network. You enable that. I'm not quite sure. I encourage you, if you guys want to have more details on that, to see the F5 guys on the network. Go and see Mark from our part. He's going to be very happy to talk to you about that. So, wonderful. We have new IP addresses everywhere. We have provider IP addresses. We have customer IP addresses. How do we have a clear view on all those bits? This is very interesting. You might heard that we have in Windows Server 2012 introduced IPAM for IP address management. Well, one of the new features of IPAM in Windows Server 2012 R2 is to offer you a view on this IP address space. So let's go back and see here in my environment. So as you've seen previously in my fabric resources, I put as well an IPAM environment. So my IPAM environment is on member 03, and it is connected to this thing. So it will report my configuration to this machine. So let's go there and see what we have. So this is a very common IPAM console. You probably already use that. This is the IP address space. This is the DNS and DHCP part. And this is new in R2. This is the virtualized IP address space, which offers you this view on that. So virtualized IP address space. Here you have everything exposed, so it's a bit tricky to find what you need. So you probably want to zoom directly here. You have customer and provider IP address space, so you can quickly see the two used here. So in my PA address space, remember what we've seen previously, I had my net cloud provider, so my 172.16 something. I had my 192.168 something for my internet logical network, So they are here. This is my PA address space. So you can see the ranges here, and if you see the here in the IP addresses, you can see really the IP addresses and which machine has which IP address. Then you can switch to the customer IP address space, and you can see here the different subnets. So those are from another VMM environment, but here this is from the blue environment that we just seen, and we should be able to find green and red as they were present in my VMM console. So here you can see them. Interestingly enough, there's as well an interesting feature in IPAM in R2, which is the scope. Here you can see the access scope. You can very easily delegate version on different users. So different users can have different things that they can see. So it's way easier to delegate roles in IPAM in R2. So I think that's pretty much it. We're having a view now, a global view on our IP addresses, thanks to IPAM. So I think there was a lot of wordings, a lot of stuff during this hour. We've seen that HNV, the Hyper-V network virtualization, this is really, first, complicated at the first look. We hope that after that, it's a little bit clearer how to put them all the bits at work. It's really wonderful when you have understood all those bits, and you are really able to make this promise, which is using an IP network to rely on it and to use many other IP networks from different customers and integrate them easily. This is the first foot in one aspect of the software-defined networking, indeed. When you want to put HNV at work, you will need the operating system, the hypervisor. You will need a system center, virtual machine manager to make your life easier. We don't recommend really to make it via PowerShell. You can do, but it's complicated. You need to have the AdVGRE gateway to link your isolated environment to a real-world environment. You can use one from Microsoft. If you already have F5 devices or any other devices, you can use them and put them at work for this purpose. And if you want to have a great vision on all the consumption of the resource of the environment, you can use IPAM. So thank you very much for being during this session. We hope it was an interesting hour, that you have a very clear vision on how to put all the bits together. You can find more information on our blog and Twitter, if you read French. Thank you very much for being here. It was a real pleasure. I hope it was for you as well.
If you have some questions, you can use the mic.
And don't forget to vote for the session if you liked it. And we definitely hope you did.